talking about Parshas Matos and Maaseh, what we have to recognize is that these are two parshas that are always read during the 3 weeks. We said that Parshas Pinchas is sometimes, almost always read during the 3 weeks, but not always. Matos and Maaseh are always read during the 3 weeks, just like Devarim. In fact, many say, we've pointed out before, that the most ironclad rule in Kriyas HaTorah in terms of what Parsha is read when is that Devarim is read right before Tisha B'Av, and therefore Veschanon is read right after Tisha B'Av. So if Veschanon is right after, Devarim is right before, so then that means Matos Maaseh are also always read during this Tkufa. They're always read during this week. So therefore, when we look at Matos Maaseh, it has to be through the lens of this time that we find ourselves in. It has to be through the lens of Bein HaMitzarim of the 3 weeks. And there are two primary lessons that I wanted to focus on tonight. There's really so much in Matos Maaseh. For example, according to the Ramban, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is in fact found in this week's parsha. The mitzvah midaraisa, to live in Israel, is found in this week's parsha, according to the Ramban. The boundaries of Eretz Yisrael are described in this week's parsha. Obvious connections to this time of year. But the very beginning of Matos starts with something that ostensibly doesn't have anything to do with this time of year per se, and that is, of course, the whole parsha of Nedarim and Shavuos, the whole section dealing with promises and vows. What's fascinating is that what other time of year is connected to vows and promises? High holidays. Right? Erev Rosh Hashanah, we commonly do Hataras Nedarim, untying our promises. And Kol Nidrei, the beginning of Shabbos Shabboson, the beginning of Yom HaKippurim, is with Kol Nidrei, undoing all our promises, undoing all our oaths. So we see it's two of the most chashuva times a year, two of the most intense, perhaps these are the two most intense times of year, are somehow connected to the section of Nedarim and Nedavos. And what I'm saying tonight mostly is based on Shmuz by Reb Tzvi Meir Silberberg, Shlita, great tzaddik in Yerushalayim, one of the great chassidish mashpiyim of our generation. And he points out that what is the key, what is the connection between the beginning of Parshas Matos Maaseh, where we talk about Nedarim and Nedavos, Nedarim and Shavuos, promises and oaths, with Bein HaMetzarim, with the 3 weeks. And of course, the answer is a very, very simple prohibition of Bal Yachel Devaro. That when it comes to Nedarim and Shavuos, when it comes to promises and oaths, what do we say? Bal Yachel Devaro, that a person should not profane their words. You shouldn't treat your words as chulin. You shouldn't treat your words as non-sacred. And Reb Tzvi Meir says from this that what one of the primary lessons that we have to learn during Bein HaMetzarim is Kedushas Hadibur and the Chashivas Hadibur, the holiness and the significance of our words. And first of all, we know that this is something that we work on all year. As a Jew, we work on our words all year. We know that the Vilna Gaon, in his tzava to his family, in his ethical last will and testament that he left for his family, the Vilna Gaon wrote that a person's primary determinant of where you'll be in the next world is your mouth and how you use your mouth in this world. And so we come to Bein HaMetzarim, we come to the first parsha that is always read during this time, Parshas Matos, and the very first lesson we come to is treat your words as sacred. Treat your words as holy. And we know, where does this come from? So of course, it's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in the beginning of fifth parak. The Mishnah in the beginning of the fifth parak tells us, Ba'asara ma'amaros nivra ha'olam, that the world was created with 10 sayings. The world was created with 10 statements. And of course, there's so much depth to that. We're not going to get into the whole Kabbalah of it, the Osios Rabbi Akiva, the Sefer Yetzira. There's so much depth in it. But on just a very simple level, what is the Mishnah teaching us? What's the teaching of the Mishnah? You know what the Mishnah teaches us? That you can create worlds with your words. Ba'asara ma'amaros nivra ha'olam, that words have power, that words can build. But God forbid, unfortunately, Zel umazel asay Elohim, that Hashem creates the world in perfect balance, that if our words have the power to heal, our words have the power to build and to bring life, Rahman al-Atslan, Hashem should help us, it means that unfortunately our words also have the power to destroy. Our words also have the power to hurt very, very deeply. And therefore, when we come to this time of year, Reb Tzvi Meir brings down five primary tikkunim, five things to work on during Ben HaMetzarim, but he says number five, and perhaps achron chaviv, the last of the things that he talks about, and he again says perhaps that this is the most chashuv of all of them, is to make sure that we use our words properly, that we have to understand the chashivus of these words. And so therefore, that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. We have to try and understand where it comes from. So first and foremost, right, aside from the Asar Ma'amaros Nivra Ha'olam, where do we find words playing a very important role during this time of year? And that's, of course, in the Chet HaMeraglim. That's in the sin of the spies, that we know that the spies came back from Israel, spoke ill of the land, and those words entered into the hearts of the Jewish people, and we've discussed this many times before. What did those words do? Those words destroyed those people. Those words, mamish, entered into the neshamas of those people, that lashon hara, that those evil words from those evil tongues, and it totally, totally broke the Jewish people. So much so that as we read in next week's parsha, and we spoke about this, they said, Hashem hates us, Hashem hates us. That's what those words did. Those words of the Meraglim broke the Jewish people until they went in that night of Tisha B'Av and cried in their tent saying, Besinas Hashem osanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates us. And we know that the Chafetz Chaim says, In his Sefer, he says that we have to recognize, and this is in the Hakdama, She'ikar hatviya haya al chelkei hadibur she'shayochim l'sinas chinam. What does it mean when the Gemara says that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sinas chinam? He says, primarily what we have to know, what? You bear ill will to a person in your heart, that's it? Churban abayis mamish? No, Chafetz Chaim writes in the Hakdama to his Sefer that the sinas chinam was expressed in how we spoke about one another. Rahman al-Itzlan, maybe today he would say how they blogged about one another, how they tweeted about one another. You know, that's also Bechinas Dibur. Please make no mistake that it's not only Dibur with the words that you actually say, right? The Chafetz Chaim had a tremendous chiddush that you could say Lashon Hara without uttering a word. And I never fully understood that until my class in Azrieli Graduate School for Jewish Education with Dr. Fried, where he pointed out that 80% of communication is nonverbal, right? So the Chafetz Chaim says you could say Lashon Hara with a raised eyebrow, with open eyes, with, you know, the scrunching up of your nose indicating that, ooh, that guy smells, you know, whatever it is, right? That's Lashon Hara. But the Chafetz Chaim said that when we talk about Sinas Chinam being what destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash, understand the primary way that the Sinas Chinam was expressed, that baseless hatred was expressed, was how we spoke about one another. And so when we come to this time of year, when we're trying to be misakin, when we're trying to fix what brought about Churban, and of course we work on Avas Chinam, we work on loving everyone, we work on Avas Yisrael, on Avas Habrios, right? But Rahman al-Itzlan, we have to understand that it starts with how we speak. It starts with how we speak. Just last night I was speaking to a good friend of mine, Rabbi Lavi Greenspan Shlita, a great tzaddik who... we've had speak in our kehillah before. Rabbi Lavi Greenspan went blind when we were in middle of smicha together, when he was in middle of law school. And we were just talking politics, a little bit what's going on in the world. And Lavi stopped me, Rabbi Greenspan stopped me, and he said, Muk, he said, Chaim, Muk, he calls me Muk, not Chaim. He said, Muk, you know, let's just pull back. You know, there's a lot of negativity that we're speaking now. Let's not focus on this. Let's not focus on this negativity. And that's really what we spoke about during Sfiras HaOmer, for those that were part of our limud together then, that how careful we have to be in terms of expressing these feelings, this negativity, because dibur, words make it real, and words give it a certain significance and substance. And so this is why the Chafetz Chaim says in the Hakdama that when we talk about Sinas Chinam, destroying the second Pesach Hamikdash, we have to know it's the words of Sinas Chinam that are so dangerous. And it's the Lashon Hara that's spoken. But it goes even further. It goes even more than that. And here Tzvi Meir brings in another nekuda, right? We spoke three nekudos so far. One, that the words are Ma'asar Ma'maris Nivra Olam, Hashem created the world with 10 sayings. It shows us the power of words. We saw the negative effects of speech in terms of the Chet HaMeraglim, the sin of the Meraglim, that words can just break someone down, can debilitate someone. Mamsh broke Klal Yisrael, broke the Dor Deya. Again, think about the power of those words. The generation that saw Kriyas Yamsuf, saw Hashem and Kriyas Yamsuf, Zeh Keli Vanveo, point Hashem, they heard God's voice at Mahar Sinai, and yet they were broken by the words of the Meraglim. Those words had such a powerful effect that it broke them. And as the Chafetz Chaim said, when you talk about hate towards others, what does that mean? Just you have it in your heart? No. Again, there is an Israel Sisna Sachicha Bilvavecha. We have to work on hate in our hearts, But the Chafetz Chaim says the primary expression of it was really in how people were talking about each other during Bayis Sheni. But let's go even further. When we talk about Bal Yachel Devaro, do not make your words chulin. Understand the power of speech. The Reb Tzvi Meir says that there's another very important yesod, a very important key to understand how we can use speech. And what is that? Reb Tzvi Meir says that the Tefera Shlomo, the Radomsker, Shlomo HaKoin Rabinovitz, right, the Heiliger Radomsker Rebbe from the mid-19th century, the Radomsker said already in his time, he said it was very hard to connect to Churban HaBayis. It was very hard to connect to the destruction of Yerushalayim and what it meant not to have a Beis HaMikdash. And again, you know, granted, that was before the destruction of Europe. But then again, you're talking about almost 200 years ago that he wrote these words. You know, Rehov Yafa was a figment of his imagination. You know, davening by the Kosel, Amir Yeshiva, the Chevron Yeshiva, the Bnei Brak, Yeshiva Haratzion. I mean, these things were figments, not in their wildest dreams. It was the Tefer Shlomo thinking about these things, right? But yet, the Radomsker says that what's a key to be able to feel, to open yourself up? It's how we speak. It's what we talk about. And here is such a very interesting perspective that Reb Tzvi Meir says, the famous pasuk from Eicha, written by Yirmiyahu HaNavi, that he wants to give a little bit of a different taich, a little bit of a different understanding. Normally, when we say Shifchi Kamayim Libech, what does that mean to us? Shifchi Kamayim Libech means pour your heart out to the Eibishter, right? It means pour your heart out like water. We think it means in terms of tefillah. But he suggests maybe Shifchi Kamayim Libech is that we need to talk about Churban. We need to talk about destruction. We need to talk because when we talk about it, the diburim shel avelus, the diburim of sadness and of avel, that's what enables us to connect to it. So often people feel, you know, like that they're not feeling. And that during this time, you know, to be able to really experience the pain of Bein HaMetzarim, when we're sitting on the floor in Tisha B'Av, God forbid that a person doesn't feel the brokenness of a Tisha B'Av. So the Tver Shlomo that he brings down, Reb Tzvi Meir, that you have to use these words. You have to use the words to talk diburim shel avelus. And that's a way of opening up your heart. Shifchi kamayim libech, nochach p'nei Hashem. And you're talking to Hashem. You're talking nochach, apsid Hashem, words of churban. And that's why, you know, there are certain books to read this time of year that enable you to enter into the pain of the Shechina, of Galus HaShechina, of what it means. You know, because all too often, you know, we find ourselves in a gilded Galus to a degree. Obviously, things are not what they once were, and times are changing, the winds of change are blowing through. Halavai, halavai, we should just all hold on stark. But at the same time, you know, when we think about, we have life pretty good, right? Baruch Hashem, when we think of the Galus, what does Galus mean to us? That we have to drive 15 minutes for a piece of pizza? Like, what's Galus? What does Galus mean? So I think that during this time of year is when we have the conversations that are painful conversations. They're conversations with yourself. Conversations with yourself, just talking to yourself about what gullus means to you. What does the pain of gullus mean to you? And this is something that even though the greatest of tzaddikim are talking about how hard it is to be margish, how hard it is to feel in general, and especially to feel what we're supposed to be feeling during this time, the Tver Shlomo tells us that the way is shifchi kamayim libech. And I think for every person that's different. For every person that's different of what that means. You know, this year, obviously, as Sfas Emes teaches us, all tzaros in the world happen only because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Right? When we say Hamakom Yenachem Eschem B'Soch Shar V'Litzin V'Yushalayim, the Ashkenazi Divrei Tanchumin, the Ashkenazi words of consolation you offer in a Shiva house, Hamakom Yenachem Eschem B'Soch Shar V'Litzin V'Yushalayim, may the Almighty, may the place comfort you amongst all the mourners of Zion in Jerusalem. And the Sfas Emes says, what's the Shaychus? What's the connection between the tragedies of COVID, Rachman Nilatzlan, the thousands of Jews who passed away from this, what does that have to do with Korban Habayis? What is the mourning? Someone's mourning in Springfield, New Jersey, Rachman Nilatzlan, in Queens, in Muncie, in the five towns. Someone's mourning. What does that have to do with the mourning of Jerusalem? The Avelus of Tzion V'Yushalayim in the Sfas Emes, the Chusa Gin Aleinu says that you have to recognize Tzaros only happened today because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. If we would have that bias hashlishi, umach Hashem dima me'al kalponim, Hashem would wipe away tears from every face. No more tears. No more tears. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow the third Beis HaMikdash to be built. So this is a time for us to reflect, and it's time to go to a place that we don't like to go to the rest of the year. And it's not a healthy place to be the rest of the year. But this is the avoda during this time of year. This is Davoda, but please understand, even though it's Thursday night, you don't go to such a place on Shabbos. We don't go to a place on Shabbos. Shabbos, we have to keep Shabbos, even during the 3 weeks, and even if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, as Chazal tell us, you have a Shal Shudis, like Suda Shlomo HaMelech B'Shaita, right? That Shabbos is Shabbos. And I realize it's Thursday night, but just in terms of the Avoda, of what the 3 weeks are, Bal Yachel Devaru. In terms of, so we mentioned three things so far about Dibur. One, Basar Mamaros Nivra Olam. Two, the power of words to destroy vis-a-vis the Miraglim and what Chafetz Chaim says about Sinas Chinam being expressed in Lashon Hara and Diburim of pain and hurt. Third, the idea that Dibur can be a way to enter into the feelings of the 3 weeks of Bein HaMitzarim, of the Avelus and the Bechi, of feeling the Shchinta Begalusa, the pain of Hashem in exile. But fourth is also understanding the power of words in Limud HaTorah. Because we know the Gemara Nedarim, the Gemara in Bav Metzi also talks about this, that when the Navi says, Amav the Aretz Asher Ozvas Teirasi, why was the land lost? Because they abandoned my Torah. So we know that the Gemara says, what do you mean? The Navi's wondering, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Talking about the first Beis HaMikdash, according to most. And it's because they abandoned Torah. So what's the Chiddush? The Navi should have seen that. It should have been obvious to them. No, so the Gemara says, no. Shelo berchu batorah tchila. What it means is they didn't say berchas haTorah before they learned Torah. That's what it means they abandoned my Torah. It meant that they weren't learning Torah to seek out Devar Hashem, that Limud HaTorah became some type of intellectual exercise, something that interests us, but it lost that component of a spiritual experience of really coming together, bedveikus, with the Borei Olam. And a fourth approach of Bal Yachal Devar, don't make your words chulin, is understand the koach of your words of Torah. Understand that when we learn books of Torah, when we learn Svar Makadoshim, whether they're in Hebrew or they're in English, the Gemara in Irvin says that we have to learn out loud, that you should catch yourself when whatever it is that you're learning, make sure you say it out loud. So often we're used to reading books in our mind, right? That we don't say, you're reading a novel, you're reading a book of whatever history, whatever it is that interests you. Do you say the words out loud? We don't say the words. I know I'm reading Harry Potter. I don't say the words out loud, right? right? Especially you can't say Voldemort out loud, right? So, right, words have power, right, Chevra? But the idea that you have to make sure that when you say words of Torah, Bal Yachel Devor, your words aren't chulin, your words are not profane, your words are holy. And every word, when you say Torah, when you say those words of Torah, that's what helps Limud HaTorah become a spiritual experience. And that's so important during this time. Because as again, when the Gemara says from the Navi that they didn't say Birchas HaTorah, and from Eicha Rabasi, the introduction to Medrash Eicha, What does that mean? The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Gilarai, Shvichas Dam, and Avodah Zarah, the cardinal three sins. What do you mean they didn't say Berchas HaTorah? So the way it's explained from the Psichta to Eicha Rabasi, the introduction to the Medrash on Eicha, is Ha'or Shebo Machazir Milamutam. If they were learning Torah for the sake of connecting Tashem, of Dveikus, and this is what something Nefesh HaChaim talks about, Atlanta Chaim Belozhner talks about this in Shar Dalet of Nefesh HaChaim. It's not only a Hasidish thing, this is a Misnagdish thing also, that we should feel Hashem's presence when we're learning Torah. And this is something to redouble our efforts, that our words are chashuv, and the whole idea of a neder and a shavua is that our words can actually create halachic imperatives. Right, that we can, with our words, we can create halachic realities. And that's something that's very, very chashuv. So again, first part of the shir, in terms of Bal Yachel Devar, the beginning of Parshas Matos, how chashuv it is, every word that we say, Bein Latov, Bein Lamutov, that our words can be incredibly powerful to bring us into this tkufa, to help us connect to this time that we're supposed to be focused on Richuk, on the distance from Hashem. And again, you read the Letzar Chaliyah, that we step down to propel ourselves up to closer to the Eibishter. So, you know, we take that step down, not Chas V'Shalom to be down. We take a step down to project ourselves further up to Hashem, but also at the same time to recognize Bal Yachel Devaru, every word is holy. Every word is counted. Every word is significant. And an offhand comment, Rahman al-Itzlan, how often people, relationships are destroyed because of a thoughtless comment. Mamish, a thoughtless comment. And I don't want to have anything to do with them ever again. I don't want to talk to them. Mamish, so please, unfortunately, I know too many of these cases. Please, please, be careful with how we speak. And this is one idea that I wanted to talk about. But there's also another thing that we don't have so much time. But there is something else to talk about in this week's Parsha. And the psychologists amongst us could darshan on this much better than I can. But it's really about our unconscious, right? That it's fascinating. Pamidbar Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Beis Nikom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Meis HaMidyanim Achar Teosef Alamecha. The Eibishter tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you know what I need you to do? I need you to lead Klal Yisrael to war. And I need you to take vengeance for the Jewish people against how Midian enticed them and seduced them to sin and got them to sin with Avodah Zarah and Gilui Reis, with idolatry and adultery and sexual immorality, right? And after you take vengeance for the Jewish people, meaning you go to war against Midian, then Moshe, you're gonna be gathered up to your people, meaning you're gonna leave, you know, exit stage left, you're gonna die. And the Medrash Rabbah tells us, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, reading from the Medrash Rabbah, Ilu haya rotze Moshe luchios kama shanim ayachai. If Moshe wanted to, he could have lived for who knows how many more years. Because Hashem said to Moshe, Nikom nikmas v'acher teyosef, tala kosov misaso b'midyan. Right? That to teach us that Moshe's death was dependent upon the Jewish people first having this war against Midian. So what could Moshe Rabbeinu have done? Ostensibly, just not go to war against Midian. Elolo diacha shivcha shal Moshe. This is to teach us the praise of Moshe. He says, so that I should live, I'm going to hold back the nekama of the Jewish people. Miad vaydaber Moshe lom lemar hechaltz meitchem anoshim l'tzava. Get ready to go. We're going to war. So the question that the Sfas Emes, Chusayin Aleinu, and many other tzaddikim say, I don't understand. One second. This doesn't make sense. This is the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. The praise of Moshe Rabbeinu is that he didn't push off the tzivoy of Hashem because he wanted to live more. Really? Moshe, Hashem tells him to go do this. And Moshe would say, nah, Hashem, I want to hang out a couple more years in the desert. We'll go to war eventually. Hashem tells you to go. Of course Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go. So Zok Tesfas Emes, you know what the teaching here is? You know what the teaching here is? A gewaltige teaching, the Sfas-Emes. And again, the psychologist, Dr. Jeff, should darshan this, not me. But what the Sfas-Emes says is that if Moshe Rabbeinu had any unconscious thoughts, feelings, harboring, that, you know, maybe I don't really want to do this, then when he would have brought the Jewish people to war, they wouldn't have been successful. And the Nekama would not have been taken, and Moshe Rabbeinu would have lived further years, because they would have to go to war again. The Sfas-Emes is saying is the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu is that when he went out to war against Midian, Hashem told him, of course you have to go out to war against Midian. There were no penias. There were no personal agendas. Consciously or subconsciously, there were no personal agendas. Whatever the Ratzon Hashem was to Moshe Rabbeinu, that was his Ratzon, finished. Nothing else. And many tzaddikim talk about this in the context of Moshe Rabbeinu and many other places. And this isn't only a Hasidish idea. Rabbi Shol Salanter, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Livracha, in the whole Musar movement, both Musar and Hasidus, we find so much psychology, so much about the importance of being self-aware and understand that there's so many layers underneath that we have to get in touch with. And you know, I often think about what Rabbi Mori, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Livracha, would say, that Avodah Zarah is when there's something at your core that's not Hashem. And you know, we've spoken about this, that's what Avodah Zarah is, when there's something at your core that's not the Eibishter. And so all too often, you know, what do we have at our core if we're going to be honest with ourselves? We have ourself at our core. That's really what, and that's the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu. That one of the most fundamental, and again, the psychologist will correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the greatest drives that we have is the drive for self-preservation, is the drive to stay alive. It's an innate, right? A person gets, whether it's incredible strength, whatever it is, under very dangerous circumstances, for self-preservation, there's a tremendous, tremendous yearning. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu understood that by me going to war now with Klal Yisrael, full speed ahead, and being successful in this war, it means I'm going to die very soon. And Moshe Rabbeinu does it. There is no subconscious, there is no layer underneath Moshe Rabbeinu that isn't totally, totally focused on fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. And, you know, I think that this is also a very important yesod, a very important idea if we can try and work on during this time. You know, we often talk about the pain of the Jewish people during this time. But also, part of the avodah, in a very, very high level, of the avodah of Bein HaMetzarim, of the 3 weeks, and of Tisha B'Av, is feeling Hashem's pain. As the Gemara in Brachos tells us in the very, very beginning of the Gemara, very beginning of Shas, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, that every night Hashem cries out, woe to a parent that had to send away a child. Woe to a parent that had to kick their child out of their home. Can we understand the pain of that parent? And every night, three times a night, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shoei k'ari, HaKadosh Baruch Hu roars, cries out like a lion. Woe to a parent that had to push a child away from his table. Woe to a child who was pushed away from the table of the parent. And, you know, we all have our own hang-ups. We all have our own reasons why we want Mashiach. You know, just before Mincha Maariv, you know, I was on an askara for a cousin, a woman, you know, who was nifteris from cancer a number of years ago, 5 years ago, and how her daughter said at Askara, you know, how I was hoping that, you know, 5 years after mommy's passing, we wouldn't be gathering to remember her, we would be with her, you know, that Mashiach Tzidkenu would come, there'd be, and that's a valid reason, 100%, and that's such a powerful, powerful moment that everyone listening, I think, was deeply touched. But also during these weeks, it's a different type of avodah to try and feel Hashem's pain in sending us away. And that, of course, is only if we understand how much Hashem really loves us and how deeply Hashem wants to be with us. And that Hashem is crying out of in pain, of not feeling that closeness. And so I hope that Ezus Hashem, with Hashem's help to open up our heart, Hashem's help with the Siyata Deshmaya, as the Gemara in Sukkah tells us, that every day the Yetzirah gets stronger and stronger. And the only way for us to move past the Yetzirah is with Hashem's help, that Hashem should help us, that we can use our words properly, that we can use words of healing and building and spirituality, God forbid, not words of pain and Rahmana Litzlan, hurt and vile, that we just throw all over the place, whether it's verbal, whether it's typing, whatever it is. But remember the words of Torah, the light that shines in Torah, Hor Shabbat, the light of Torah can bring us back. And remember, to feel a little bit the pain of a parent who just had to send away a child and just wants to be close to them again. Have a good Shabbos. Have a meaningful Erev Shabbos, everyone. Take care.